That's how we're going to start. Welcome to the Gaming Blender. I'm Matt, and I'm here with best guest. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the channel.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool to be here. A little bit intimidated by the countdown. It's like we're going to space.
We had a little countdown. That bit will not... Well, I'm not going to have to keep that in the edit now, the recording. I'm going to add some sort of 5, 4, 3.
You can't remove anything. It has to be full authentic.
Just before recording, we were just chatting, and you were launching into these great stories. I'm my childhood. This, and I was like, stop. Am I not actually recording yet? This is gold. Please be calm.
Yeah.
But best guest, it is lovely to have you. We've known each other a little bit of time now. I'd like to say we've known each other.
Yeah, it
months.
Was great meeting you. Yeah. It's been months. Wow.
It's been months. We've known of each other for a long time, but we have not crossed paths until months ago, where we came across, and I found out what you did, and then got addicted to your videos, which are hilarious on YouTube.
Oh, thank you very much. It was very nice being invited into your home, and you know, we enjoyed it. I've written your address here, so if anyone would like to know, it's
So I feel like I've got no threat back to you on that, because I feel like I need to message your partner and get some sort of evidence that I can use, and I've got your address.
Yeah. You do. I think you do.
Oh, I do, actually. Possibly. I do have your address. Ha ha. Revenge. But yes, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the Gaming Blender podcast, where we design hypothetical video games by merging a load of randomized genres and mechanics together. But the reason I wanted to get you on is because I wanted to speak about your relationship with games to start off with. Because and I feel like this is actually fitting on the day where they announce the GTA 6 trailer will be with us soon. Because I feel apparently it's coming in December, but I feel like the way you interact with games on your videos is the way that lots of people generally play GTA, which is take something and then times it up to 400%.
Yeah, if you're like 12 years old, for sure.
They're 12 years old, but it's so wonderfully simple in terms of that video where you've got the video where you 10% smaller every time you play Skyrim, or you try and set off the biggest explosion in Fallout, Fallout as possible. Just beautifully simple things. And you just watch the game going, you really want to do this?
It's some of the most fun is watching an explosion go off and all the physics of the things interacting with each other as your computer starts to chug, and you hear noises like lawnmowers going off in the room, and you're kind of like, whoa, what is that? It's just your computer begging for mercy. Explosions,
crying.
In every game. Yeah, I feel like observing games is a great way to understand them, you know?
I agree. I think when you understand like the physics, especially when you look at a game not knowing what it's meant to do and essentially looking like a toddler just being taught how to do math. Because it just has that face of going, if I add that to add that and add that and add that, oh God, I've got to throw this spanner 4 miles that way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And watching a reality breakdown, as it were, type of thing. Each game sort of has its own reality in a vacuum, you know, if you want to boil it down to that. And when you jump to another game, it's completely different. The laws are different, you know, the way things interact with each other are different. And it's always fun to see how far you can push it and see if it even tries to push back. I find Bethesda games don't really try to push back that much. I really enjoy them.
In a kind of Monty Python suicide pact kind of way. They say, if you're gonna do this, then I'm going to fall over and cry.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, no, I'm trying to slowly get into it. On my channel, I'm sort of filming games and stuff. And what I don't realize is you sort of just end up chatting so much rubbish to yourself when you're doing it. And the amount of stuff that you do wrong that you don't realize, especially because my videos generally, yours are sort of very tightly edited and put together and sort of have a narrative, whereas mine is just me sort of kind of free playing. And I just realize how many times I just screw up in a game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the amount of times if I have a goal in mind, or like if there's a particular explosion I want, like I'll set about doing it, and you know the methods are normally the same, and we talk about the unpredictability of like gaming realities, I suppose, where the laws of whatever physics in the box, you know, are being rendered in front of you, where how they interact can vary quite dramatically, so you end up hitting F5, and you're like, I don't like how that one went, and then you end up hitting F9. Hitting F9, sorry. And it is funny how it all sort of boils down to I like to think you can boil it down to its bare parts, you know, the salt at the bottom of the pot.
Which is how Bethesda actually releases its games.
Yeah, yeah, the grains. The grains at the bottom of the soup that you get once all the DLC's done.
Take it. Yeah, the DLC will show up with some secret patch that we don't tell anyone about.
And the Switch port.
Fixes everything.
Mm.
No, I tell you, although I do fall out of love with games. I know you played Mountain Blade 2, which is on your channel as well.
I love that game. It's so good.
I have a weird relationship with that game. I love it. And then I realize I'm too nice to everyone. And I just ride around and go, hello, how are you? My character essentially nods heads with every noble and goes, goodbye now. And I watch other people play going, oh, I'm going to go war with you. You've got a funny face. I'm like, oh, this doesn't feel like me.
Yeah. The problem with that game as well is if you apply your normal like human logic to it, every creature, see, I'm referring to them as creatures. Every person in that game is like a creature, with the exception of maybe three that look like they haven't had random hit, and so you end up liking characters that are objectively horrible. Such as I like Regea from the Southern Empire.
Right.
She's kind of pretty. She's old. She's kind of like normal looking, kind of pretty. So I'm like, oh yeah, I'll work for this lady, but she's a complete psychopath. She's horrible. But then again, the way I approach that game normally is like a little murder hobo, you know, like a little goblin.
See, that's more fun. I think if I let my morals go, I'd have more fun. But generally, I sort of play that game as if I play it in real life. So I only do my objectives that appear in front of me. So when you go right at the start, when you're having the really small things, like can you escort my sheep 4 yards over there? That becomes the most important thing in my life at that moment, so I can't live. It's like I'll get attacked by a raiding army and defend this castle. And I go, but the sheep. I must save the sheep, and I can't get my priorities sorted. It's also a similar reason that I struggle to play games like Mass Effect. I can't stand the choice system. I have to back off and be like, I need to breathe. This is I'm scared. I'm going to make the wrong decision. I just need to. I just let me shoot some things. I'm scared.
Yeah, with Ben, I feel like the quest system kind of conflicts with what it wants you to do. It wants you to interact with the world and the, I guess, like the politics of it. But the,
I think that's 100% because you end up just saying yes to a million people and you're like, actually, you're meant to say no and start winding people up and start causing.
I feel like you end up just ignoring quests. You're like, well, I don't really want to escort this van because it's much easier for me to march 100 people that way, join an army of 900 and then just take the city as opposed to getting like four nobles to like me.
I could escort your van to the city or I could own the city. Which would you prefer?
Yeah. What do you prefer?
What would you prefer? Anyway, I'm sure we want to get to the meat and bones. We want to see what you create. After all your talk of this is how you play the games, we want to see what you build. Now, obviously, with Scott previously, we've been doing a randomized number generator, but the only reason we've been doing that is because Scott can only hold about four numbers in his head at one time. So we're forcing him to do it. So you are going to be picking the numbers just to keep it lively, because it's also good to see what numbers you like, just generally.
Ooh, yeah, okay. Well, so you and me, we're Liverpool fans, so there might be a couple of numbers there, but that's wrong, yeah.
Yeah, but then you test me on it and you say which numbers. And so little inside story before we jump into the game. My brother, we used to do quizzes for Christmas to find, essentially we'd write quizzes of how to find each other's presents, where they were hidden in the house, and we'd write them for each other. And my brother, knowing that I was a Liverpool fan, did loads of quizzes on who got this many goals, who got this many assists this season. And I was there for an hour just staring at the paper going, I don't, no,
you
enough.
Feel like a fake fan, yeah. Like, maybe I'll just, everyone in the room's looking at you. You're sweating.
Everyone's looking, and I'm like, maybe I'll just find the present next year. Maybe I'll just come across it. Maybe that's more likely than right now. Anyway, slight divergence. So what we got is we got genres. We have 22 wonderful genres to pick from, and then we have 40 mechanics. And obviously, pick one genre and two mechanics. So I need one main number and two other numbers, please.
You said 1 to 40.
1 to 40 for the mechanics, and 1 to 22 for the main overall genre.
Ooh, okay. We'll go with for the main genre. We'll go with 14, I guess.
14.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to know what it is, or do you want all your? Ooh, interesting. Okay, I'm going to be very cruel and put a ban on 14, as it was last week's number.
Okay, well let's not repeat last week. All right. Well, we'll go with 11, shall we?
Okay. Interesting. Do you want to know it, or do you want everything in one big, wonderful pile of information?
We'll let it stew, shall we?
Let it stew.
And then the next two are to 40, right?
Yeah.
Let's go with like a solid 39 and a rock bottom 2.
39 and 2.
Yeah. So
I pause and work it out. Okay. I don't know how you're going to feel about this.
You know, it's okay.
So, You have chosen. Your genre is asymmetrical multiplayer.
I don't even know what that means. But we'll,
so asymmetrical multiplayer is when you have one person up against multiple players. So the Friday the 13th game, Dead by Daylight, examples of it. Mm. So it's another example of it would be the short-lived Evolution game that came out many years ago.
Yeah, where you're the monster.
Multiple people taking on one person. So it's kind of moving away from the traditional standard of multiplayer. So it's not just going like capture the flag, etc.
And it's in particular, it's PvP, right? It's not player versus environment. Okay, so it wouldn't be like Monster Hunter.
It's asymmetrical, so you could very easily do like the environment was taking part. I feel like at the moment, all you need to do is you just have that asymmetrical element. I we're pretty loose in terms of the genre, in terms of where you want to push it.
Mm-hmm.
So the next two you've chosen. So number two, Football Manager-esque tactics.
Oh boy. Yeah.
So essentially I think you can expand on that. We've got Football Manager in there because it's the idea of setting a tactic, then watching it play out in front of your eyes, and having made perhaps less direct impact than you would have in a full-time RTS.
Yeah.
So that's why that one's in there. It's slightly different. And the other one is procedural generation.
So
procedural generation as per No Man's Sky, generating planets, automatically generating more content automatically. So not necessarily having something scripted, having more sort of a system or almost a loop that you could keep going.
And when we say Football Manager tactics, are we talking like it wouldn't be the background stuff like, train someone's
aggression? The tactics specifically I see that more as manager mode, what you're saying. But I see this as is setting up a group or things or something along those lines and saying, I want you to do X, Y, Z, and then kind of watching it play out ahead of you and perhaps having limited effects on what goes on. Because in an RTS, you literally click on a dude and go, walk over there. This one is slightly different because you used to click on a dude and go, walk over there. Where are you going? You're not doing what I'm telling you to do.
Right. So, the first thing that's coming to mind is probably something like XCOM, right?
Yeah.
Where you're sort of a group of elite gamers up against some sort of big bad that would also be a gamer, maybe also elite, which would be scary, with some sort of procedurally generated element to it, I guess. Maybe random stats. That's terrible.
Well, maybe you put the procedural generation, the way to think of it is how can you have, and this asymmetrical that keeps looping on, can you have it so it's almost this is a really bad example, but it's maybe something to draw from is the way that the world keeps changing. There was a big thing in multiplayer a few years ago where if you signed up, you joined a team, and then if your team did well that week, you would get bonus points. So, for example, I remember when For Honor came out, you chose one of the sides. You didn't necessarily have to play that side, but if you won your match, you were representing that side. So I wonder if there's some sort of rollout where you can keep the conflict going. That's the procedural bit. You just keep the game keeps going, right? Okay, well, we're moving this forward. Now we're moving this forward. But how do you move that forward? I mean, one way you could do it is you could have the person who is the asymmetrical. All the games could almost be live, and the person that is the baddie, or say baddie, or the person by themselves keeps changing. And each time they change, they get given different buffs and different, or they become a different villain. Maybe if you're fighting some sort of blob-esque enemy, but when the next person becomes it, they get that blob morphs into something else or something different. So you're always fighting something different, but it's always changing, but it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going and keeps rolling over.
It would have to do something like that, wouldn't it? Or it changes the toolkit that, say, maybe the isolated player on the good or bad side ends up having. So if there's like a big bad in there, maybe one of them's really fast, but he has to be a bit more careful or something like that. I don't know. Just trying to draw on my own experiences. One of them's really big, so everyone can see him, but he can't necessarily see everyone else. And he's like, What do I
do? Maybe that's it, and it morphs these parts together, and it really has a very loose.
Right.
You could almost
it's horrible.
Well, you could have a randomizer. Like, if you really wanted this sort of blob-esque enemy, you could have a little randomizer button that you press, and then when you were happy with your build that the game gave you, you could go into battle.
I like this blob now. It's really growing on me.
I can't. That was close to being a pun, I think.
On a play on the blob.
This is the blob. This is the blob. That's what happens. You're fighting. Oh, that could be like a really interesting multiplayer dynamic, though. It could be sort of playing bluff. Like, are you trying to destroy the blob, which gets your whole team bonuses, or are you trying to be absorbed by the blob and become the blob? And then when you're playing by yourself, you get more bonuses. So you're essentially earning the right to be the blob.
Ooh, yeah. Everyone wants to be blob.
Everybody wants to be blob, but it's obviously more difficult because you have to get closer. Your teammates can go against you, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's a higher risk strategy with greater reward.
Yeah. Yeah. Now suddenly Fall Guys come into mind. They're all a bunch of mindless jelly boys running towards the fabled blob, you know, holy blob.
That's not a terrible idea. No, it genuinely isn't.
You sure?
That could be a procedural element, is having these obstacle courses.
Ooh.
And maybe we really play into the stupidness of this. And the tactical element is sending off your group of little blobs, and you say, I want to reach the end. And you give them tactics. Like, you say, little man, if you get to a pass, go underneath it and try and pull the others across. So you give each one of them tactics, and you kind of watch it play out.
Yeah. I like that. You get like the brute one and the little one and the quick one, and give them roles that you think they can excel at, and ultimately you watch them fall off the map and
injure
themselves,
well,
get red cards. Yeah.
You could be also like swearing at your teammates, because your teammates, you can like share tactics. So if you type before, you can go, right, okay, I've got more big guys, put them at the front. You've got more little guys. Can you help out on the smaller bits? Like, yep, I've assigned all the tactics.
And then the multiplayer part becomes writing down what you think they should do. Yeah. And then you're all arguing about what that.
Yeah. Yeah. You can do shouts halfway through. Like, you can essentially do a shout and go, abandon teammates, or abandon something. And so they make
throw a water bottle. Yeah.
Storm out a press conference.
Demand more.
Encourage. Oh, we won.
Well done, guys.
So
they're all dead.
That's quite an interesting way, because then you could literally just line up. You have your little four, so you look next to you, go, right, okay, you've got these. And then you can look how, see how you push forward to get to that blob. And then at the end, if you, maybe all your, in the spirit of Fall Guys, if you all grab hold of the blob and all pull it in different directions at the same time, then the blob dissipates. However, if one of you runs into it, if you command your team to run into it, then the blob, then you become the blob. However, if multiple people run into it, then the blob wins the match. So it's a kind of, you've got to really be sure that none of your teammates are going to be doing it.
Yeah. Written and produced by Stanley Kubrick. Yeah, that's mad. The dreadful blob. I'm afraid, you know, I'm afraid of what we can create when we put our minds together. This blob. Those guys don't stand a chance.
No. The blobs are fully gone. Do you know what I'm more worried about?
Go on.
Applying a narrative.
I'm not worried at all.
You're not worried at all.
All right. The blob takes on every personality trait of the guy controlling it. Okay. So some sort of neural interface. If they're a complete psychopath, all the better for it. If they're a cannibal, they're a cannibal blob. You know, we go with.
So maybe it's a spin-off of Fall Guys, where this is the blob that won every single crown, and its pride made it grow to an extent that it had no control anymore. And it just sits there and it screams, DLC costumes, and that's all it screams.
Why be creative when we can just be when we can just apply tropes to it? You know, the blob used to be a misunderstood man.
Why try and do anything original when we can just look through any media ever? Unfortunately, we do have a list of generic plots that we have to shoehorn into the game.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We have 19 generic plots. They're really generic, but you have to pick one. So, for example, Gareth was on the podcast last week, and he had and we did a platform game, which turned into like essentially a posh version of Doodle Jump, and we were really happy with it. And then we pulled out Forbidden Love as the narrative.
Yeah, you're tearing me apart.
We decided he'd fallen in love with the mining and stealing gold. He'd fallen in love, and it was like a metaphor for a drug deal. So it got very deep, very quickly.
Well, awaits the blob?
What fate awaits the blob? We got 1 to 19 to find out. There are a few that I'm terrified of.
So I feel like I really dropped the ball. I feel like if I was serious about it, I would have put all the nice genres somewhere in the middle, because it would be like a bell curve, right? People would be like, I'll pick a middle number more often than the ends. And I went with 39 and 2. Thought I was being funny, but now 1 to 19, we'll go with a flat 10, shall we?
Oh, this works actually.
Oh, good.
Temptation.
Oh, it does. So yeah, he's like a comic book villain now, the blob. I'm really intrigued by this blob.
The blob that I imagine now, the blob is like the poison ivy-esque of the Fall Guys world. Enchantress almost. Summoning. It's the little Fall Guys in.
Yeah. Like the siren.
Yeah. Just
that's cool.
How would the blob siren sound?
Sings WAP over and over again.
Sings WAP.
Yeah. Blobby noises, boiling. What noises do blobs make? Squelching.
You know? Oh, it's sweet. Yeah, so you just see your little... That would be an interesting one as well.
ASMR. It all squelches in your inner ear, and it sort of confuses and bewilders you, and then you've got to make your tactics.
Half the people find it annoying. The other half go, it's really relaxing, actually. It's really relaxing.
I like the blob. I'm not going to destroy it.
I follow the blob on TikTok, so and really some of the longer form videos.
Really profound X-posts. Tweets.
I can see the temptation as in tempting both you. Oh, it's actually, I suppose it's fourth wall breaking, isn't it? Because it is tempting you as the player to betray your teammates to become the blob.
Mm.
So that is that you are literally in the narrative. But I feel like we need to give Blobby a story. Where did Blobby come from?
His name was Stanley. Yeah, I'm not too sure. I feel like I'm just joking about stuff. But where do we? How do you write a blob? You know, there's only been one movie about a blob, and I haven't seen it.
I think both those films anyway, the blob is just like, it came from somewhere.
It came from space. Oh, well, how about Venom? You know, Venom's a blob from, Marvel fame.
If we had a sort of mock Venom, so it sort of comes down and just has a personality that's actually just really sweet and wants to love everybody.
Yeah, and he envelops a guy who isn't sweet. And then that's where the procedurally generated personality comes from. I don't know.
Maybe it takes over one of the Fall Guys things who just looks like a...
and then just becomes in the middle of the blob, you just see a skeleton, you know? That's what Stanley once was, you know? There he is.
So, and it'd be quite... Actually, no, I suppose you could make this really funny. It'd be like, I am seeing this like the Lego Games-esque of humor. Like you look inside and you see Stanley who just gives a thumbs up. Of the block. It's going well.
It's going good. Yeah, please tear me apart. I need to be free. let's get serious about it, shall we? Oh, what kind of plot can we do? Some interstellar being that has come to Earth, and the blob gives people abilities other than the fact that it changes your you become a blob. That's terrible. But it's desirable, you know, for reasons. We don't have to go into that. That can be a mystery. It can be like the Force back in the old Star Wars games. No one talks about it. Everyone just likes it. They all want it.
And when we talk about it makes no sense. That's the Force.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got little microbes in him that make you become blob, but like they also give you super speed.
Somewhere Scott is looking up going, something is awfully wrong on my podcast. It's ticking.
Oh, boy. Better come back quick.
No, I like the idea. It's an interspatial thing. It lands on this world of mysterious, essentially little men that we're going to liken to, because to make it funny, liken to the Fall Guys people. And it lands on their world. And what it does is the first thing it lands on a gymnasium. And when it lands on the gymnasium, it sees all of the exercise equipment and obstacles in there. And it decides that this must be the world and forms this world around it to protect itself. Which then, there's a film like that. There's something where it lands and it thinks, this must be what the world's like. I'm going to make more of these.
Yeah.
So it surrounds itself with those, and it decides that only the worthy should reach it. Perhaps it's an interstellar traveler to find the most able of the worlds that it inhabits to become the blob and take its power, because it obviously gives out this power. But then obviously the ablest blob. But obviously it's landed on this useless, like, bean world where they're all like, I must pick the most worthy of you, and they're just rotating around and falling over at the same time.
Yeah, the blob is one of many. It comes from a mother blob. It goes to different planets, and it's landed on this weird planet where no one really makes sense. They all have a plan at the start, and then they all kind of fall over, and some of them just end up killing themselves trying to get to the blob. And that's the player's fault, you know, but it's also the world's fault, because the world building is the player.
I feel like the blobbiness as well just looks down and just kind of gets really confused and sad. And you could have some really funny lines like, try again.
we gotta get voiced by Elias to fix this as well. Try again. That was kind of blobby of you. Throw in some, you know, like Cyberpunk has unique, what's it called? Slang. You know, that's preem, you know. You can be like, oh, you know, that was a bit floopy of you.
Just start throwing in all this stuff that you could just like, I will report back to Blobotron that you were significantly more blobby today.
Ooh, I'm not sure about my brother blobbies. They're going to feel brother about blobby. This situation.
I think there's a DLC here where Mr. Blobby just comes down.
Mr. Blobby is terrifying. Yeah. Do you have many, do you know the demographics of the people that listen to your podcast?
No. I've never done too much. I don't know. Well, are they all Mr. Blobbies? I don't know.
No. I was going to ask because I brought up Mr. Blobby. Just funny that you brought it up. I brought up Mr. Blobby the other day on my Discord, and a lot of people didn't know what it was. And then it's terrifying, isn't it? And when we were kids, we loved it.
I feel like it's one of those things that if you looked at it, you watch this as kids. Yes. What? The giant bald pink man that storms into people's houses going,
smashes things and actually sort of is really threatening, you know.
So when you rewatch any kids' TV now, and you're like, "Oh, this is really disturbing." Oh, good God!
Yeah, no, they were watching Dora the Explorer or whatever. What do kids watch now? You know,
I think Blobby.
We grew up on Blobby, and let me tell you, we're
better for it.
You gave me chest hair. Put it that way. Yeah.
So. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run down what we've got so far, and we're going to see if we need to add anything. So we have an asymmetrical multiplayer, procedurally generated tactical game. The way this is going to work is you have a giant blob which has possessed one of these little bean minions on the world and given it powers. Now, it will be throwing up – I've just realized that we don't know how the blob actually plays. What's it do?
Yeah, it can't just stand there. And that was kind of how I imagined it. It would just stand there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, I was just imagining it. And then surrounded by the procedurally generated... I suppose what you'd have to do... No, because that's procedurally generated, the obstacles. I think what you'd have to do is like, maybe... Oh, this is quite funny, actually. You could flail these tentacles around with the controller analog sticks. And it, depending on what type of blob you had, it depended on how much like resistance you have moving it around. So if you have a tall, thin blob, you could move it, but it's easy to control, but much thinner. Whereas if you have a massive blob, you'd throw like a big arm down, and it would knock five people off. But it takes like a year for your hands. So maybe your ability as the blob becomes much more linked to the shape of your blob.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I also had a thought when you were explaining that to me. You know, why would a blob need to be thin, for example, or large? And it hit me. I was like, how about the objective for the blob to be to absorb the people? But there's like a mini game in there. Once it absorbs one of the players, that it has to, because it's more fun when they're killing each other. Let's be real. when it absorbs a person, and then there's like a little mini game that they've got to play, heavily weighted in favor of the blob. That if it absorbed too many people at the same time, it would inevitably lose. You know, it can't get them all. So the players tactically have to get to the blob all at once.
Oh, I see. So the blob's looking from afar, going, right, pick them off one by one. But if loads of them turn up close, they're like, right, okay, the game's gone.
Yeah. And the blob has little shape-shifting powers, you know? Like, hey, what's it called? It was on Overwatch recently. I don't play Overwatch. What's it called? Prop Hunt? It can maybe do a little bit of a little bit of that, and to lure people in, it can maybe we can throw a bottle as a player, we can encourage or whatever, demand more. Maybe they can do voice demand lines more. Too, like, "Hey, behind you," maybe, and then like one or two players here.
Wouldn't it be cool if it could project its voice?
Ooh,
and if you're wearing like three, like it could just say, "Make me sound like I'm on that point in the map," or whatever it is, and then the players go around, jump away.
Yeah.
No, that would be even funnier because the player's obviously not controlling their blobs. They're just watching them. So yeah. It'd be really funny to watch your blob, your little beans, get tricked by the blob. No, he's clearly over there. Where are you going?
My overly aggressive one has been taunted and now he's running straight towards the blob while my other guys are trying to do a flank. Yeah, I think that'll work.
That's really good. I like that. I like the idea of watching a man go, "Oh, God, what's happened? Ziggy's gone blobby again."
Yeah, I like this.
Well, then that's that. And then you have the blob flailing around and hiding and trying to trick people. So a little bit tactical on their side. Obviously, from the player, the asymmetrical players, they're trying to get as many of their people through the procedurally generated obstacles to be around the blob at the same time because he can't absorb too many people. And the story is that this blob came down from on high as they tried to find the greatest warriors of all the world, and it landed on this world of little weird bean people, and it's going and it's saying things like, "You will be worthy," and the little bean people are going,
okay. Yeah, like Sims language. Should they kind of like kablablu? Yeah, and they sort of run around and fall over and they don't do as they commanded properly. Maybe the bean people have like a hive mind. I don't know. Nah, I couldn't have a hive mind, actually.
I don't think you've got a hive
mind.
It's
better the way it is.
I think you've got an AI that essentially means that the bean people behave slightly differently depending on their mentality. So some of them will be nervous and will follow friends, and some of them will be reckless and charge off. But that depends on how the blob plays, because they're going to go, "I can isolate those people," or they'll usually be sticking together.
Yeah. The beans together strong.
Beans together strong. I now see them marching with a flag. Like beans together strong.
Yeah, they what's the civilization like? That's what I want to know. What's the lore, you know?
So they're beans, so I reckon they eat humans on toast.
Okay. Why not? Why not go down that route?
It's slightly
dark.
They
farm people. There's a dark side to this.
It's a very dark side. Like isn't it Splatoon that has an incredibly dark lore? That no one really, it's incredibly fun and colourful, and it's like the reason is because the fish evolved and all humans died out. It's like, okay.
Ooh. I've never played Splatoon.
I found out about the lore.
Oh, gee. Yeah, maybe I'll look into that and get disturbed. It's been a while since I got disturbed by anything.
It's always good. Always good.
Yeah. Oh, I'm always looking for that next derangement. You know what I mean? But
just around the corner, Blobotron.
Let me tell you, that blob's going places.
It is. Other worlds, other planets. So
and those beans aren't. Sorry, yeah,
beans aren't the big one unless I've been sucked into blob. What would you call the game?
All right, we can be complicated with it, or we can be really simple with it. Let me put on my corporate hat right now and go. let's call it a massive blob, or okay, bear with me. Another stroke of genius. Get the blob. Let's wrap it up. There we go. We've got it. We can pack up now. We've sorted out the title.
I like the idea
Deep Blob Galactic. Counter Blob 2.
That's in Deep Blob Galactic.
Blob Island Definitive Collection. I don't know.
Deep Blob Galactic is what we are calling it. That is unbelievably good, and I love the sequel potential. Deep, like you could. I love the fact you could add to that Deep Blob Galactic : Blob Hole or something like that instead of Wormhole or something like that.
100%. 100%. Shadow of Blob. There's loads of names.
Oh, yeah. It's really, I mean, at the end of the day, we've just put a four-letter word in and hope for the best.
Deep Blob Galactic Tactics.
Tactics. Tactics. And yeah, it's clearly coming out on mobile, yeah. 2007.
Galactic Manager.
Galactic Manager. Bean Manager 2012.
Oh, boy.
Right. So that was Deep Blob Galactic. I hope very much you enjoyed listening to that. And best guess, thank you again so much for turning up. turning up. It's a podcast. Thank you so much for speaking. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for your dulcet tones. And if you want to go and check out his videos, please do. They're absolutely hilarious and very, very fun, just like this. Scott should be back for the next episode. But in the meantime, thank you so, so much for listening. And keep lending, everyone. Bye-bye now.
See ya.